Hello, and welcome to MMG's interim results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2014. I'm Andrew Michelmore, Chief Executive Officer of MMG, and I'm joined by David Lamont, our Chief Financial Officer, and all other members of our executive committee.
Hello, and welcome to everyone who has joined the call.
Today's results presentation is simultaneously broadcast via our website and by telephone. There will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the presentation by telephone only. If you require the telephone numbers to ask a question, please email either Colette or Kathleen. Firstly, I must draw your attention to the information on slide two and remind you that it is important in relation to today's presentation. Before I hand over to David to run through the financials, I'll cover our all-important safety performance for the first half. We believe safety is a leading indicator of how our assets are being run. If we are delivering good safety performance, our assets are being managed well, and we generally see flow-on effects to our volume and cost performance. Our lost time injury frequency rate, or LTIFR, improved in the first half of 2014, while our total recordable injury frequency rate, or TRIFR, was 24 in the first half, unchanged compared to the end of 2013. MMG remains committed to the long-term sustainability of its businesses and communities in which we operate. We've adopted a proactive approach to environment, social, and governance responsibility. Our goal is to achieve a strategic alignment to the International Council of Mining and Metals Sustainability Framework. The care for people, environment, and stakeholders is of the utmost importance and is integrated into the management of the company. I'll now hand over to David, who will run through our financial results in the first half of 2014.
Thank you, Andrew. Last night, we released our financial results for the 6 months ended 30th of June 2014. These results clearly demonstrate our commitment to shareholders to optimise returns through the safe, efficient and cost-effective manner in which we manage our business. I should point out that all dollar amounts in today's presentation are in US dollars, and I will round figures to the nearest whole number as I talk through the slides. In the first half of 2014, our revenue, EBITDA, EBIT, profit and earnings per share all increased compared to the first half of 2013. Compared to the prior corresponding period, revenue increased by 1%. We sold 6% more copper, but at an average LME price that was 8% lower. And we sold 1% more zinc at an average LME price 6% higher. So although revenue was relatively flat, we reduced our operating expenses by 9%, which ultimately resulted in a 33% increase in profit. Turning to slide six, where we look at some of the major drivers that impacted our first half 2014 EBIT results compared to the $93 million reported in the first half of 2013. In total, the change in commodity prices had a negative impact of almost $35 million. As I mentioned previously, the average price of zinc increased 6% compared to the same period last year. This resulted in a positive impact of over $43 million. However, this increase was more than offset by the prices received from the sale of our other commodities, most notably copper, where the average LME price fell 8% compared to last year. I should also point out that this variance is inclusive of the impact of TCRCs, which are price related. When you look at the price variance by asset, Century's positive variance clearly highlights the leverage to the zinc prices given the performance of its zinc sales. Turning to slide six, increased volumes across our business resulted in an increase of almost $51 million. We reported higher sales volumes in all products, except gold, which was impacted by the closure of the gold plant at Sepon late last year. MMG's copper sales volumes increased by 6% compared to the last year due to the improved efficiency and asset utilisation at Kenseberry. Zinc sales were 1% higher than last year due to higher sales from Golden Grove, which was offset by lower sales from Century. Lead sales were 29% higher than last year due to a full 6 months of trucking lead concentrate from Century's tailings dams. Now turning to slide 8. As I mentioned earlier, MMG reduced operating expenses by 9% in the first half of 2014. For us, it is important to not only talk about cost savings, but to realise them, or bank them as we refer to internally. Lower production expenses had a positive impact to EBIT of almost $23 million. We are very proud to report this reduction in our costs, and there have been many initiatives across our businesses aimed at delivering cost improvements. We have listed some of these on the chart in front of you. Sepon reduced production expenses by $30 million following the closure of the gold production late last year. This resulted in a reduced employees, energy and consumable costs in the first half of this year. At Century, production expenses decreased by $21 million due to a focus on strategic cost-saving initiatives leading up to the closure of the open pit mine. Rosebery and Golden Grove also reported a decrease in production expenses due to strategic contract management and a refocus of mining operations. Production expenses did, however, increase at Kenseberry by just over $12 million. This was mainly due to the higher production that came from the asset in the first half of 2014. Costs also increased to produce power from the diesel generation. So although we reported a reduction in the use of diesel, the higher cost to run the diesel offset the reduced usage. Now turning to slide 9. Running through some of the other factors that increased EBIT, we should see that the weaker Australian dollar had a favourable impact of almost $39 million. In the first half of 2014, approximately 65% of our costs were in Australian dollars. This percentage will obviously change when Las Bambas commences production. Costs related to administration increased by $22 million, which were mainly due to costs associated with the Las Bambas transaction and integration, and an adjustment to our long-term incentive provisions. Depreciation and amortisation increased by $39 million, or 19%, compared to last year. This was due to the higher mining and processing volumes at Kenseberry and Century, and reduced economic reserves at Sepon, Rosebery and Century. Overall, these factors contributed to a healthy 25% increase in EBIT to $116.5 million when compared to the first half of 2013. On slide 10, you can clearly see the relative changes to revenue and EBITDA at each of our sites. Across our business, we continue to focus on asset utilisation, that is, measuring the effectiveness of each of our assets at each stage of the mining process, when then identifying how we can make improvements and further optimise efficiency. Our EBITDA margin improved from 26% to 31% in the first half of 2014. This is a key measure of our core profitability and demonstrates how well we manage our assets relevant to the revenue we receive. Turning to slide 12. MMG operations generated a cash flow of just over $200 million in the first half of 2014 compared to $207 million last year. In the first half of 2014, MMG continued to invest in our growth projects and software development. We invested just over $38 million on the Dugald River project, where the trial stoping program has continued. We also paid a dividend to our shareholders of almost $53 million, and we also spent $53 million relating to loan repayments and other financing activities. This resulted in a net cash inflow of $7 million for the period, taking our cash balance as at the 30th of June to $114 million. Finally, a few points on Las Bambas. MMG acquired Las Bambas for just over $7 billion on 31st of July 2014. The transaction and future capital requirements are funded by a combination of debt and equity, and you can see the terms as detailed on this slide are very competitive. We have allowed for some flexibility in the current capital expenditure that is expected to complete Las Bambas, and as owners of the project for around 20 days, we are not yet in a position to provide an update to the project schedule or future capital requirements. However, we do expect to provide additional detail in our next quarterly production report, which will be released on the 16th of October in Hong Kong. That brings me to the end of my section. I will now hand over to Andrew, who will provide some more detail on our strategy and outlook.
Thanks, David. As I mentioned in my opening, we believe our safety performance is a leading indicator of how our assets are being managed. In the first half of 2014, we continue to see good production and cost performance across our sites. We've reduced almost 93,000 tonnes of copper in the first half of 2014, with Kinsevere year-to-date production 13% higher than last year. Kinsevere continues to deliver excellent results and achieved half-year records in processing, production and sales. First half zinc production of almost 270,000 tonnes was 4% lower, mainly due to lower production from Century. Century production was affected by access to the higher grade Stage 8 cutback and by lower grades as it approaches the final stages of the mine plan. We reviewed our annual guidance, and we now expect to produce 177,000 to 190,000 tonnes of copper for the year and 580,000 to 605,000 tonnes of zinc in 2014. We are well on the way to achieving these targets. Turning to slide 16. Our two primary products are copper and zinc, and I'll discuss our outlook of both of those commodities in the next two slides. The demand outlook for zinc remains robust, with urbanization and industrialization in the developing world, and in particular China, driving consumption growth. The long-term outlook for zinc is highly dependent on the structural issue of which mine supply growth can keep pace with the consumption growth, whether it can keep pace with the consumption growth. MMG is currently among the major global producers of zinc, and we have significant expertise within the company, not only from an operational perspective, but also in marketing, technical areas, and exploration. Dugald River continues to be an important part of MMG's future. As arguably one of the world's best known undeveloped zinc deposits, we are determined to identify the best option for the future development of this project. The chart on the right side of slide 16 with Wood Mackenzie's forecast shows the expected deficit over the coming years and the corresponding impact to price. I note with interest today that ILSRO has announced that the deficit for the first 6 months of this year was 234,000 tonnes of zinc, which supports the Wood Mackenzie numbers. With the average LME price increasing 6% in the first half of this year, we believe the market is now starting to factor a future supply deficit. Turning to slide 17. MMG's other major commodity is copper. Also referring to Wood Mackenzie's forecast, we consider the long-term outlook for copper to be positive. Demand growth is expected to continue, mainly from China, as you can see in the chart on the top right. Chinese copper demand is driven by the power sector, which accounts for over 40% of total demand. Ongoing investment and expansion of China's state grid power distributor networks will continue to support long-term demand growth. On the supply side, mine production will expand in the coming years as new projects and expansions start production. As you can see in the chart on the bottom right, new supply is expected to come from southern Africa and Peru. It's worth mentioning that in total, global copper production was around 17.8 million tonnes of contained copper in 2013. Chile was the global leader, producing an estimated 5.8 million tonnes, or 32% of total copper. By 2019, Chile's market share is expected to decline to around 27% of global supply due to the depletion of reserves. Without significant investment in the region, Chile's domination in copper markets will change considerably in the coming years. Now turning to slide 18. Our announcement in April that we intended to acquire the Las Bambas project in Peru generated much excitement and interest from both within MMG and our shareholders, especially amongst our shareholders. Despite this excitement, we have remained focused on our existing assets and our people. We will continue to recognize and appreciate the contribution made by every part of our growing company. Looking forward, we will seek ways to create future value from our foundations. Whether this is through exploration, looking at our options in Queensland, or our RAD 50 project at Kinsevere, or looking to sustain and extend production at Sepon, we will continue to invest in our business. With the ongoing support of our major shareholder, our strong operational capability provides us with the right foundation to grow our business. This is key to our long-term success. Now turning to slide 19. We were all very proud to welcome Las Bambas to MMG in what is a truly transformational milestone in our company's history. Once operational, Las Bambas will significantly increase MMG's attributable copper sales, and as you can see from the chart on this slide, this asset propels us amongst the mid-tier mining space, where many of you know we aspire to be. Our immediate focus at Las Bambas is to complete the construction of the project and ensure integration activity does not interfere with the rest of our business. As David mentioned, I look forward to providing a further update on the project in our upcoming quarterly production report in October. Now turning to slide 20. With the addition of Las Bambas, MMG is now establishing two platforms for future growth, one in Peru and the other in Southern Africa. While both regions have their challenges, we believe they host some of the world's greatest growth opportunities. Peru continues to be a great place to invest and operate, with a stable government and world-class resources. Peru also enjoys a high standard of infrastructure and a skilled mining workforce. After over 2 years in the DRC, we remain excited about both the capability in the region and the support for mining development at every level. While Peru has larger copper ore bodies, they are lower average grade. The DRC, on the other hand, offers high-grade copper opportunities. We're excited by the opportunities in both. And while we produce copper in both jurisdictions, both regions offer significant opportunities in other commodities, such as zinc and nickel sulfides. It's important for MMG to establish an early presence in these two key regions for future growth. Turning to slide 21. My recent visit to Las Bambas gave me an insight into the immediate priorities of the project as we turn our efforts to completing the construction. There is a lot of work to be done, and we want to ensure the change of ownership does not impact on its development. Just to provide some details on the pictures on this slide, in the picture on the top left of this slide, you can see the Nuevo Ferrobamba, the new town constructed for the resettlement of the residents of Ferrobamba. On the bottom left, you can see the construction of the primary crusher, and if you look closely to the top left of this picture, you can see the blue concentrator in the background. To put it in perspective, this is about 15 kilometres away and over 500 metres lower level of altitude. In the picture on your right, you can start to see the sheer scale of Las Bambas, and at the significant effort that has already been made in the construction of this project. Which leads me to the final slide. To reiterate our key messages, we believe our safety performance is a leading indicator of how our assets are being run. Good safety performance is a reflection of our assets being managed well, and we see flow-on effects on our volume and cost performance. Although revenue was relatively flat, we reduced our operating expenses by 9% and delivered a 33% increase in profit. We will continue to focus on optimizing future value from our foundations. We remain confident in the long-term market fundamentals of our core commodities. And with the addition of Las Bambas, MMG is now establishing two platforms for future growth, one in Peru and the other in South Africa. Thank you for joining us today. I would now like to open the microphones lines for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of Yan Chen from Standard Chartered Bank. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning. I got a question on the cost. What kind of cost outlook for the second half should we be looking at Kinsevere, Safuan, and also Sentry?
I'll pass that one to David.
Fundamentally, you've obviously got to take into account where the exchange rate moves, but let's take that as being flat where it is today. What you would expect us to be able to do alongside the production is you will see from the guidance that we've given on production that in some of those assets, more tonnes come out in the second half of the year, largely driven by the fact that we've had some weather-related events in the first part of the year. And obviously, our cost base, what you will see is a fairly flat performance. In fact, if you actually go back over the last 5 years, and have a look at our C1 cash performances across each one of the assets, you would see that they have remained relatively flat over that period. So I would just also draw your attention to the guidance that we have given in relation to C1 cash costs. There has been no adjustment to those from what we actually flagged earlier in the year.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Disbrough from CLSA. Please ask your question.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for the update. My question relates to, the balance sheet. I think a key concern for investors is the shape of the balance sheet following completion of the Bumbus transaction. Can you give us some colour, on what debt metrics you think is appropriate for the company?
Just as a sort of an overall picture, before Las Bambas we were about 45% gearing. That's where probably we'd ultimately like to end up to be. To be able to acquire Las Bambas and in the speed with which we needed to do it, and the size of our balance sheet, we obviously needed to do it with major support of our major shareholder and do it through debt, plus also our joint venture supporters. So we have taken on that large amount of debt, and as Las Bambas, that provided us with the security of funding to be able to complete Las Bambas. Obviously, we then want to generate the cash that's production out of the Las Bambas will produce to be able to pay down that debt and shareholder loans. Ultimately, we'd like to get back around that 45%, but the focus at the moment is get the project up and running and de-risk it and demonstrate to the market that we're doing that. So I think that's the primary focus.
Yeah, and Andrew, the other comment that I would just add to that is we focus very much on the serviceability of the debt. And clearly, as we dictated or outlined in the slide 12, you can see that the terms associated with the debt package for Las Bambas are attractive. We do actually have a three-year holiday period through that construction phase. So obviously that enables us to build the project, generate cash, and then look to have to service the debt. So the prime metric that we actually look at is the serviceability. We think if you have a look at the all-in rate, the terms that we actually have, you know, 7-year facility and 18-year facility, enables us time to repay that loan in a sensible fashion. And as I say, the key metric we look at is the serviceability.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further. We have a question on the line from Alex Lutzer from Maybank. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just to clarify, on the debt, you have 3-year holiday on the principal, right? Or both principal and interest?
It's a 3-year holiday on the principal repayment.
On the principal, okay, that's what I thought. Also, I realize in October we'll greatly look forward to your owning the project for, you know, over 2 months and then the update. And I just wanted to confirm, so you've been on the ground now for, what, 19 days or so, so I understand there's not a lot to talk about. But you've been able to step forward a little bit more in your integration, I guess, of your team. If I might as well ask anyway, is there anything that you've found in these 2-3 weeks that are worth commenting on as your teams take over from Glencore teams?
I visited the site where a couple of things. One was the sheer magnitude of it and the prospectivity, the first ore body, but also seeing where the second and third are and a lot more area for exploration. Secondly was the quality of the team that's there, originally Xstrata and then Glencore. We've taken those people on board. Our integration team that's been there for a number of months, done a fantastic preparation, and it was a seamless rollover. In fact, as I got out of the helicopter at site, my iPhone vibrated in my pocket because it automatically connected into the MMG Wi-Fi system, and I got my emails. It's that sort of seamless work that's gone on to be there for day one. We've set the challenge for the team that's in Peru. A couple of challenges. One is to complete the integration within 60 days, and that's why so much preparation went into it. But the other one was to make it seamless to continue on and not change the activities, because the team that's the operations team that's already there and the senior management with it are first class, and we're there to help them continue to develop the project. The other comment I would make is the sheer magnitude of the construction work that's going on. The elevation, 3,400 metres at sort of base camp, going up to 4,800 metres to the Chalcobamba mine that will ultimately be run. It's an incredible area, and we're certainly impressed with the prospectivity and the future for the operations.
Oh, great. Yeah, thanks for the caller. I look forward to at some point having a visit myself. Any comments you can make on the zinc market, what you're seeing in China in terms of their production and their key in terms of, you know, the demand is growing well there. Of course, outside in the rest of the world, the automotive demand has been very strong. But in China in particular, I think you pointed out concerns about whether or not there was production was able to continue and to meet the demand. I know that's something that's very hard for people to get a lot of clarity and transparency on, but I'm just wondering if you had heard anything on that end, on the supply side in China, given the push on the environmental and consolidation there.
I think it's an interesting and quite complex market. So the macro numbers in terms of refined metal, as I mentioned, deficit of 234,000 tons. The growth through China and the general market has actually been higher than has been expected. It's obviously, as I've mentioned before, automotive applications in China where the cars less than 20% of the cars produced have zinc coating on them for rust protection versus 80% in Europe and the United States. I know from wearing my chair of the International Zinc Association, we're doing a lot of work helping with the transfer of technology on galvanizing into the Chinese market, and the reaction has been quite spectacular. The number of galvanizing companies signing up, but also very thirsty to get hold of that technology. And it, the technology puts on a much thinner coating of zinc, but the volume in China of mild steel that's being consumed is massive. So I think that's where we're starting to see the technology and the quality of production of goods in China picking up, having a flow-on effect for the demand on zinc. Zinc, also with the United States market starting to pick up, we're seeing the zinc there being solid as well. So I think the demand side for the metal has been very good. The interesting side, though, is then when you come down to the smelters who've been flat out producing metal in over the last couple of years to offset the, you know, the lower prices. The higher the volume, the lower the unit costs to be able to maintain a margin. What we are seeing at the moment is a bit of a softening in the market for the concentrate, and we see that in the spot TCRCs lifting up towards closer towards the annual contract rates. But I think, again, as we settle down over time, we'll see that come back as the impact of the mines that have been shutting down really have an impact in the market. And it's not only was our production down in the first half, but it's also interesting to note Glencore is the largest producer of zinc in the world out of mines, was also down in the first half. So I think it's an interesting one to watch. And obviously as the prices go up, people chase around in China for local sources of supply, and that's the big unknown in all the equations and the modelling, is what is the response within China going to be to that. Just a word of caution on that. Also, China, with the increase in quality of and technology, they're also pursuing much more environmentally friendly production. And so we know there's a massive emphasis in China on the reduction of emissions, and that's also having an impact on the production not only of steel but copper and also zinc. And so I think there's that period of settling down to new technology which will have generate some fluctuations in the market. So it's a very interesting one to watch.
Yeah, good. So thank you very much, Andrew. All the best going forward. No more questions here.
Thanks, Al.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced.
Then thank you again for joining us today. If you have any follow-up questions, our investor relations or media relations team will be happy to help you. Thank you again. Look forward to speaking in October, and good afternoon or good morning where some of you are too. Thank you.